Thanks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show with Ben and Lauren. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether that be on YouTube or through your favourite podcast app. And we've also got the Snowy's Camping Group on Facebook that you can jump onto for a little bit of extra community building.
Snowy's Camping banter.
Question asking, all sorts, whatever you want. So today we are covering a topic that's been raised in the Facebook group a couple of times over the last couple of years.
Yep, which is the entirety of the
entirety of the podcast life. So we've got a few members in that group, and potentially more than a few, but we've got a few members that are sort of actively contributing that are big blokes, basically.
Yep.
6 foot plus, 100 kilos plus, and it often comes up for, you know, maybe they're getting back into camping after having been away for it for a couple of years or did it a bit when they're younger, and they're just sort of wondering about the considerations or the tips and tricks if you are a big fella and you want to get back into camping. Now, I think it's probably worth clarifying as well that this information can be applied to anybody.
We've called it big blokes.
We've called it big blokes because realistically, the overwhelming percentage of 6 foot plus 100 kilo plus people would be dudes. And whilst we acknowledge that there are obviously other people that fit into that category, we're just going with blokes. And big bloke sounds good too.
We you also know what I mean? Found a bloke to talk to about these things.
That's true.
So it kind of made it fitting. So not trying to discriminate.
You're tall.
I'm tall, but I'm not.
But you're big. A twig.
I'm pretty scrawny.
And I'm quite curvy / I have a massive butt, but I'm quite short.
Yeah.
So neither of us fit into the category of big bloke.
Absolutely not. So we thought we'd get someone who can help us,
well known and well loved, obviously, by you all, I'm sure, Cam from Snowy's. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. How you going, guys?
We're good. It's good to have you back on the screen again.
Good to see your face.
For those who aren't familiar, and I'm sure there's plenty that would be, Cam was part of a cooking series that we did, and we hope to get back onto one day. It's just in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment, but all sorts of pretty mouthwatering camp recipes that you whipped up for
our
audience.
We've got a whole playlist of season one that you can jump into on YouTube if you want to watch that as well.
Yep, Camp Cooking with Cam.
But you also might recognize Cam from our ACOF episode when he was doing the cooking show competition.
Yes, competing.
Which we recorded, I think, last October.
Yep. Did some awesome Christmas mince tarts.
I still dream about those mince tarts. I'm not going to lie. They were so good. Mince pies or whatever you call them. Oh, that was so good.
Pies, yeah. That was a crazy, we've got an episode on that and a bit more info on it, but it got rained out and it was it started off pretty well and you ended up just cooking in sopping wet environment. And it was
downpour.
All character building, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think you'd had more than enough by the end of the weekend, but. Anyway.
I just realized, Cam, that I sort of, obviously know you quite well because I work with you, but I don't know much about your history and your involvement with camping and four-wheel driving. So do you want to sort of fill us in on that?
Yeah, look, honestly, as far as I can remember, I've always gone camping. My dad used to have every ex-Army Land Rover you could ever think of.
Nice.
And we always used to go camping from day dot. I can honestly as far as I can think. And we've done everything from tents to caravans, camper trailers, you name it, we've sort of done it. And it sort of flowed on to myself. You know, still go camping. I still go camping with my brother, my mum and dad still. My sister comes along. My wife, my kids do it as well. So, honestly, just always done it and just love it. I'll never sort of stop doing any form of camping. I just love getting out there. Yeah.
You didn't grow up in South Australia though, did you?
No, Victoria.
And where did you sort of hit up when you were young? Where were your places that you went?
That's what I think. A lot of the times we come over here. We used to go to Flinders quite a bit.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Sort of Victoria wise, we used to go like sort of snowy mountains, all that type of thing. A lot of the East Coast. Even myself personally, I've done everywhere except for the West Coast. I've never been over there, but
yeah, right.
Done all the East Coast up to Cape York. I lived in Alice Springs for a while when I was still cooking. So that'll up the centre and what have you. It was really a mismatch of everything, just wherever. And things have changed a lot. I mean, even now and then, I would look around and you think, God, the products themselves were nothing like, you know, what we used to use at all, you know, real basic camping to what people do now.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, we used to just, you know, we had those, I know I've talked about a few times, but those canvas Legionnaire tents.
Yeah.
And with a single pole in the middle. And we used to just have a really thin foam mat. And then there were like sheepskins over the top. And then we'd have like those woolen blankets. And that was a bed. And you were never cold, but nothing like self-inflating mats or, you know, fancy sleeping bags.
Our scout camps were canvas patrol tents with massive like 5 centimeter diameter round poles and a big ridge pole pegged out with a ground sheet and just on those EVA blue mats on top of some pine needles sleeping with the scorpions in the Kaipo Forest.
So, nice.
So good fun. Hey, Cam, I didn't realise you lived in Alice Springs. This is a brief aside, but when was that?
That would have been – it's funny. It's funny. You always think it's just recently, but it would have been about 26 years ago. When I moved to South Australia, I was head chef on the Murray Princess for a few years.
Right.
And then from there, which is a riverboat, then from there I accepted a job up in Alice as a head chef at one of the resorts. So went up there. My first daughter was born in Alice Springs. So we lived up there for a few years, then sort of came back. But when I was up there, we did a lot of sort of four-wheel driving as much as I could, you know, wherever I sort of went. I had a 60 series Land Cruiser then. Used to go everywhere we could to sort of see what's out there. And basically it was just tent camping. Starting a few of the resorts because I was linked with the ones I worked at, which was good. But So then came back to South Australia, back to Victoria, been sort of all over the place.
There you go. I lived in Alice Springs for 3 years, and it's such a great environment to just be camping. Oh, it's awesome. All the time. Yeah. Everything's right on your doorstep.
There you go.
I didn't realize that. Anyway, back to the actual topic of the
at hand
of the topic episode. Main considerations. So you're over 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
I'm 6 foot one and I'm pretty sure I look up to you when I stand.
Yeah, I'm about 6 foot,
Okay. All right. Only just up. And you're broad. Like you've got, for those who haven't seen Cam on the cooking show, like you're a solid bloke.
Oh, I sit properly. Yeah. I'm quite broad. Broad
in
the shoulders. Yeah.
So I'm assuming. Well, give us the first considerations you make when you're looking for camping gear. I guess sleeping, the first thing that comes to my mind is sleeping gear, right? Like what are you, when you walk into a camping shop, what are the first sort of areas that you maybe just don't bother looking at?
To without trying to sound obvious, do I fit? But in saying that, when we went up and did the ACOF event, I slept in a 900 wide swag, which I thought there's no chance I'm sleeping, but I fit.
Okay.
But something like that, you know, if you're looking at a swag, so for me, I would be looking at 1100 plus sort of wide.
Yep.
But anything for me, I'll just look at, I suppose, comfort, realistically, you know. Sleeping gear, sleeping bags, yeah, you want something big and roomy. That's not as warm, but that's what I sort of look at. And like I said, when you're getting swags, tents, I'm looking at something that's going to fit me without being stupid, you know. It doesn't mean you've got to be, you know, 300 kilos or anything like that, but you just need that it's, you know, you're going to physically fit and you're going to be comfortable.
Okay.
And everyone is different. It's a really hard thing. I don't think you can sort of say one size fits all, but you have to be comfortable within that environment, whether you think you're going to be comfortable sleeping in it, laying in it, sitting in it. And a lot of the times I think you need to actually have a look in a store. I know online's big, but I think it's very hard for people on specific things. You need to actually see it.
Okay.
For me, you know, and that's what I'd like to do.
When you slept in that, I think it was a 23-0, was it a dual? Was that like you were perfectly comfortable in that, but would you be happy with that as a swag if that was, say, your full-time thing, or would you go with 1100?
I would personally go for an 1100, but in saying that, if you had a size constraint where you're going to fit it, it was fine. I was fine in it. I just think I would probably go an 1100 for me. The length was 100% fine.
Yep.
and it worked amazingly good on my sale. I was really, really impressed with it, but I would probably go to 1100.
And would you want to upgrade the mattress? Because obviously with Swags, a lot of the mats that come with them, what, they're like a 7 centimeter just plain foam. How? And I know we were only really at Acoff for, what was it, 3 nights or something. How did you feel with the actual mattress?
Honestly, I was surprised. I was seriously going up there panicking, thinking I'm going to squash this damn thing and I'm just not going to have a good sleep. But I was absolutely surprised. And I do get the question in sore quite a bit because people who might be my size approach me and say, hey, is this going to work? Now, for me, it did. I don't know for how long the mat would survive, you know, before I had to go to a self-inflating. But for those days, I was very surprised, honestly. I was wrapped with it. Not trying to push their brain.
Yeah.
I guess it's one thing to say a 5 or a 7 centimeter mat, but I'm assuming you will notice the difference between a Swag in the more affordable range might be 7 centimeters, but you sit on it and you can squash it down. So
I wouldn't want a five centimeter. I think it'd be too small. Yeah.
But you're looking for a denser foam as well, I would assume, in the mat that you're working. Or as Laura mentioned, a self-inflating option that do you find
self-inflating. You can't beat them, honestly. They are like sleeping on a bed. Okay. If anyone has, they are brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And if I bought a Swag, that's what I would do.
So a lot of Swags nowadays, and I've noticed we've jumped ahead in our topics here, but a lot of Swags come in like a 900, 1100 or a 1400, with the 1400 being a double, and I guess 1100 really designed for instances like yourself, Cam, where a 900 will fit, but if you want that bit of comfort, you can get an 1100, and there's also 1100 mats and sleeping bags.
You can get 1100 sleeping bags. I mean, I guess they do call the 1100 a king, more of a king single size, don't they? So, and it's like, did you have a 1100 sleeping bag?
Yes.
And did you sleep in that, or did you use it as quilt?
No, I unzip it. I sleep really hot, so I couldn't sleep in it. I unzipped the thing. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's also the benefit with sleeping bags is that if, you know, potentially if you are a bigger bloke, if you get a sleeping bag that fully unzips and you can use it as a quilt, you've got a bit more flexibility there. Mm-hmm. But you can get, again, 900, 1100, 1400 wide sleeping bags as well.
Yep. So if you want wiggle room, then the 1100 is going to give you that. Well, I assume a 900 sleeping bag on your shoulders is probably going to be pretty tight, I would think.
Yeah, it does. I'm jammed in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of going back to self-inflating mats, you can get them in 10, 15 centimeter thicknesses now. And I know Exped do the Mega Mat, which is 15.
Mega Mat Max.
That's right. Yep. And then Austrail do a Fat Mat in a 1500 now, which is a more affordable option for some people. Would you necessarily need to go a 15 centimeter, you reckon?
I think they're way too big.
Yeah, right, okay.
They're pretty close to your bed at home, but they're too big for me. The 10 is, I think, is plenty. Because when you lay on it, a lot of people do this. You sit on them and think, oh, no, there's not much there. But when you lay on the thing, it actually spreads your body weight out.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're really comfy. The 15, for me, unless you're using it in a trailer or a camper trailer or something like that, I wouldn't bring it. It's just too big.
You can adjust a 10 centimeter mat to be pretty comfortable for your shoulders and everything.
I'm fine on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's good to know. Yeah. That'd be good feedback.
Factoring in a stretcher as well, would you, because you've got a camper trailer now, right? That's your existing setup?
I've got a camper trailer and a caravan.
Okay, you got a camper trailer and a caravan. So if you would just say you and just your brother are going to go away, do you take your trailer?
If it was just me, I'd take the trailer,
Okay. And so I'm assuming you've slept in a Swag before.
Yeah.
Do you use a stretcher with your Swag?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. Would you?
I mean, this is a personal thing. I don't like the stretchers because they move a bit.
Okay.
And when I sleep, I'm a rough sleeper. I'm like having a disco dance in bed. So the whole thing moves too much for me.
Okay.
The beauty of them, however, is that you can just swing your legs out and get out. You don't have to try and climb out of the thing.
Yeah, right.
And I've got a bung knee anyway. I've had a knee reconstruction. So for me to get off the ground is a fair effort anyway. That's probably the beauty of it, but I just don't like the way they move for me.
Move around. Yeah, I mean, I've personally even found that I remember there was a period of time when I was a kid that we had stretchers in our camp set up, and I just didn't like them because, like you, I toss and turn a lot, and it is a bit disconcerting feeling the stretcher move around. I mean, I know you can get some stuff reinforced, like that, where sort of the movement, but still, I don't know.
Some of the cross leg stretchers are pretty sturdy now. But
the Austria one's actually probably the better one.
Yeah.
It doesn't really move, where the other brands do move a fair bit.
You mean the Easy Fold, the grey and yellow ones?
Yes.
Easy Folds.
I think Zenpi have a there's a few like that. So they kind of fold out and the legs cross and they're quite sturdy.
Yes.
Like
reinforced. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So essentially having a stretcher in your combo, good if you have mobility restrictions or getting up off the ground is a bit hard. Downside is if you're a rough sleeper, they can move around a fair bit.
And they're generally the people that do buy those when they are getting on in life a little bit, or they do have leg issues. Definitely get one. You'll find it so much difference and you just enjoy the trip better. You know, you really will. If it's like anything. If you can't sleep properly, your whole trip's buggered. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be able to sleep properly.
Well, even if you have a rough night's sleep at home, your next day is not really that great. So it's even worse when you're camping.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So with your camper and your caravan, I guess it's probably not so much of an issue with the caravan, but you're buying, so you got to go out, you're going to buy an 1100 swag and then an 1100 sleeping bag and an 1100 mat. And that's a whole lot of extra packing space than someone who's only buying a 900 or like myself, who's happy to go quite lightweight and I'm comfortable on a thinner mat. So how much consideration then goes into your packing space, how you pack your car?
That is funny. That's the biggest thing, honestly. You can buy everything under the sun, but then you try and get it in your car.
Yeah.
And that's, you'd be so wary of where it's going to be. If you have roof racks, you have a roof basket, all this stuff comes into play. And even with ourselves, even though it's out of the caravan, I still have the car full because I don't know why. I think my wife has lost that stuff around. But we always take too much stuff. I always have, which is really stupid. It's really stupid, but it's the way we are. I know everyone's different, but you've got to be so careful in what you take, you know. And that's the same thing. You know, if you get a stretcher, like you're saying, everything you've got, you just got to be so wary of where it's going to be. And are you going to use it? You know, you're just going to take what you're going to use.
You fit it all. You just go pack to the gunnels.
Yeah. Oh, we do. We'll take the house and plus, you know, next door's house with us. You know? I don't know why. It's just I take every pot, pan, every damn thing.
Do you reckon part of that is because of your career as a chef? And like,
I think it is because I know. I mean, look, a lot of people go camping and they'll just have sausages, burgers, and stuff. Without a word of a lie, I will go away. I'll do lobster thermidor. I'll do curries. I'll do all this type of stuff.
Sounds like we need to book a trip. Not to try and be smart. I just do.
It's whatever I cook at home. I cook when we go away.
I used to be married to a chef a fair while ago, and it was a situation where even just making a curry, like 20 spoons would be used, and there would just be like this bucket next to the stove, and he'd use a spoon, then he'd put it in the bucket, another spoon, put it in the bucket, and it's like, do you do that when you camp as well?
Well, you know we're at ACOF, the mess I had there, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, I got to admit.
That actually gave me a bit of a conniption, to be honest. Yeah.
Kieran, our videographer, and I were cleaning up after cam, and there's just this constant flow of dishes coming up. Didn't I just clean that? Like, it's back in here again. And then when we came back, there was just tubs of stuff that wasn't used.
Well, I had stuff in the van, and it's like it's flour and sugar and fruit, and it's all in just one bag. And it's like, but isn't it because when you're a chef, you just have these little minions that come past behind you with a trolley, and they take this and they put a blank, and you just literally you're in your cooking zone, and that's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, and it's probably a really bad. It's a bad habit, but it's what you're used to doing, and it's at home. I do the same.
Yeah.
A kilo of salt.
I could cook bangers and mash and have 35 pots. You know,
I was hoping you'd have some top advice on how people can pack larger items into their car. But from Cam's advice, it's just keep jamming it in. Think about it, and then just jam it in your car.
Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but it's got me thinking because obviously, you know my partner because you met him before. He's like 6 foot, 120 kilos or whatever. He's like, he's another big bloke. He eats an awful amount of food. Even when we're away camping and he's sitting around not doing much, he gets hangry pretty quick if he's not keeping up his calories and stuff. So when you go camping, and obviously I was going to say, if you're thinking about your space and what you're needing to pack and things, are you looking at planning meals that are a bit more calorie dense, or, you know, like heavier meals, so you're not having to necessarily pack as much food, but you're getting more bang for your buck? Or you just,
I think we just covered up on that. Cam's like, no, I just pack lobsters.
I just literally go, well, that's what I want to make, and that's what I make. I don't have any thought process into calories or anything like that, obviously. No, it's just what I think. Oh, that'd be yum. So I'll make it.
Okay.
So furniture, because we've covered a bit on bedding, and I am actually, because for me, I don't know if anybody who listens to the podcast, but I don't just do the podcast. I do some videos, but also answer things on the website when people post questions and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of questions from people were like, well, is this 900 going to be comfortable, or do I go for a 15 centimeter mat? So for me personally, knowing that that swag was super comfortable for you and a 15 centimeters unnecessary, it's actually really helpful for me because I didn't actually realize that. So that's really good to know. But moving on to furniture, chairs, tables, all of that sort of jazz, you've got a bugbear with one particular item of furniture, don't you, when it comes to camping?
My chair.
Well, then obviously two.
I assume he knows what you're talking about here because I'm in the dark.
Well, I was going with the table.
Oh, damn, tables. They're too short. They are built for little pygmies that are about 3 foot tall. Every table you get is, because when you're cooking at home or within the industry, the tables are at a set height. So that's what you're used to working at. All the camp tables are so short, it starts hurting your back because you're actually going to bend over to prepare food on it. And being that my meals aren't 10-minute meals, you know, you need a chiropractor by the time you're finished. That is the biggest issue I have, is the size of the tables. I even get to the point, which is really looks stupid, but I actually sit on the seat and at the table and prepare the food. Because I'm really bending over.
Well, it's funny enough, when Cam did the cooking show, we couldn't find a camp table tall enough and sturdy enough for him to handle his cooking ways. So we're actually sitting at
this table. This table is actually Cam's table.
This Cam's table.
Oh, it's your burnt table.
We've had the burnt section polished out now.
When you set it on fire.
But specifically so that it could be higher for Cam to stand at.
And I just want to say, talking about pygmies, I am sitting on an adjustable height stool that's at its maximum height, and I've also got a big giant box underneath my feet because I can't touch the ground.
Hang down and don't quite touch the floor.
And my feet just hang there. So, but this is the table that you comfortably stand at to prep food, and I can't even sit at it.
Well, when I was talking about pygmies, I was talking about you. I just didn't want to say
So what height do you need?
About Snowy's range alone, have you found a camping table just generally across, you know, everything that's available that works for you?
Honestly, no, which is probably sad for my height, but no.
Yeah, right. Okay. So that's obviously a massive hole in the industry.
It is. And I suppose also the problem, probably for the manufacturers, is the higher they get, the more unstable they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a Darchi tracker, which I use when I go camping, but even that is too short.
Okay.
And for me, you know, and look, there's going to be a lot of guys out there which are, you know, 6'1 plus.
It's a very common question. It's a very common question. What tables do you have?
Yeah. The only one that's getting close to it is the new one we've got from Quest.
Yeah, I was going to say that's sort of the one that we recommend.
Yeah, I actually haven't used it, obviously, but height-wise, it's the only one which is at a decent height.
But it is a bit smaller, isn't it? So in terms of if you need a bigger table for food prep, or, you know, it might not quite cut it in terms of that size.
No, but then I usually have two tables. I have a smaller table that I have my, food on that I'm going to use, and the bigger one is what I prep on.
Okay.
I guess it is a balance between, like you said, the stability and the height as well and the pack size. I mean, this is stable and tall, but you wouldn't want to be packing – you wouldn't fit this in the back of your car. Oh,
you wouldn't be taking that.
So something that's more compact then requires – has smaller sort of braces and stuff on it, so there's always movement. And that Quest one's pretty good for what it is, but when it gets higher, there's still movement. If you put a glass of water full on there and wobble it, the glass is going to –
And I guess if you have to have adjustable table legs, you're not talking about a single leg. You're talking about two different components that have to fit inside each other and then so to they stretch them bit. Out and then one smaller and, yeah. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest.
I suppose you're not living with it. You are camping. So, and it's like me, you put up with it. But if there was something bigger, it would be better. Yeah.
Well, it'd be good if anyone in the group has – made it their own solution. You could use, like, I've seen people use the hitch of the table of their car and put like a table in it that raises up higher and those sort of things, or a fold out thing in the back of your car. So there's all those sort of options, but we have the conversations come up so many times in Snowy's to find a tall, reasonably stable camp kitchen type table, not something to sit at, but something to prep your food at, put your stove on, prep your food at. We haven't found something decent yet.
When I was camping growing up, when we'd go as a family, my nana and pa, they'd have their chainsaw and the giant big chest freezer run by a generator on the back of the ute and all that sort of jazz. And we'd go camping at outback stations and friends' farms and things like that. And pa would just go and chainsaw like maybe 2 1.5 meter like fallen tree logs or whatever and dig out a hole, bury them, and then they'd bring these big pieces of ply and they'd just like screw them to the top. Right. We'd have these big tables everywhere. That was really great. Don't do that now. Look, Ben's like eyes twitching, like, don't disturb nature.
Homemade tables in every campsite that we go to. What about chairs then, Cam? There's so many chairs out there that have names like Big Boy or Burley something or other, and it's
Burley lumber.
Yep, and they're big. I mean, they're also a big thing to pack in the car.
Eight
7-8 kilos plus and big.
Yeah, and that's a problem I've got with the one I've got. I can't even think of the brand of it. It's like a Burley lumber. Mm-hmm. It's, for me, it's beautiful. Well, actually, it's comfortable to a point. Gets me under my legs, but the pack down is huge. It doesn't even fit in the back of my car properly if I wanted to. It's got to go in the camper trailer or in the caravan. And even my wife, she's got a recliner chair, beautiful chair, but way too big for the car. When you get to the smaller ones, I can sit in them, but they're uncomfortable as hell.
Yeah, okay.
And it is one of those things, again, that if you go into a store, I think, and spend as much time as you can sitting in it. I've said that to so many people here because I did the same thing. I jumped in my chair, the one I've got. I like this. I hate it. I sat in it for, honestly, 30 seconds, and it's the most uncomfortable damn thing I've ever got.
Right.
So, and it's so different for everyone else, It depends on what you want. Ones with soft arms for me, they're more of a lounge type of thing. So, sort of, slumped down. Chairs with hard arms are much more taut, better for getting out of them, much easier to get in and out of, but they pack down harder. They're a bigger unit.
What about the chairs that are becoming really popular now? And I've got them and I find them comfortable enough, but the likes of Helinox, and we've just got a new range in called Wonderlite, which are a really small, compact chair with a flexible type frame and a bit of a sling in it. And I find them comfortable, and I think the weight ratings
they go up
cover,
to like 150.
Yeah, so the weight a ratings lot of them. Are there. But for you, are they comfortable?
The Savannah's not bad. The other ones, I've got, they're just too small for me.
Okay.
The Savannah is comfortable.
Which is a Helinox chair.
Yeah, yep.
Yep.
But honestly, for me, I don't like it. I just feel it's... it's a bit sort of snug around me, what have you. I like something that's bigger where I can just, flop into it type of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But if you're up for something lightweight, that style of chair is good. It really is. They pack me out of nothing.
So even though, the weight rating's not really a question because they're super strong, do you find the same sort of thing with stretchers in that they move around and even though they're going to be fine, they just feel a bit?
Yeah, and I think that's it's probably mind over matter.
Okay.
Like the Helinox, like you say, you get into them, they're fantastic, and it holds my weight, no worries. But they do move. They move a lot,
Yeah.
And I like something that's sort of solid, it's, yeah, it's not moving. But that they're again, that's very personal. You know?
Yeah, I'm the same sometimes when I sit in them because I fidget and move a lot, and sometimes I move my leg around and this and that, and I do find they do sway a lot. And even though they're not going to fail, it is a bit disconcerting. Like in the back of your mind, you're sort of like, oh. So do
yeah,
you go,
you're right. It's probably yeah. more to the point. Yeah.
Do you go for the soft arms or the solid arms on your current chair?
Soft.
Okay.
Because when I'm sitting in the chair, I'm more relaxed. You know, I've probably had one drink, possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
One or 200. So I sort of prefer just to sort of lounge in the things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we've always usually recommended hard armchairs, like you said before, for people who are struggling a bit with mobility. It's easier.
Mobility wise, definitely hard arms. Mm. With a soft arm, you won't get out. You really won't.
Yeah.
They have like, you know, director's chairs traditionally have those hard arms, but I find them quite uncomfortable because, like you, I like to lounge. But I think I could have this wrong. Is it the Austent Pilot DLX?
Yeah, they got soft arms.
Is that
a they got hard
is
arms.
That
sorry.
The
no, they got
soft,
hard arms.
That's got the soft body, sort of more of a soft body to it, doesn't it? Like
yes.
a quad fold
yes.
chair, but it has the firm arms.
Yep.
So I think that's sort of
that's
like
actually a bigger chair. That's got lumbar support as well. So they're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the other chairs that are bigger with the soft arms, you really do sit into them where your arms are nearly up like this and try and get out. Especially if you've got mobility issues and that try and get out. Is
or you're a couple of cans in.
Well, if you like to have a couple, yeah.
Do you sit at the table when you to eat when you camp, or do you just eat
nah.
out of your lap?
Just on my lap. Yeah, it ends up in front of me anyway. So yeah,
because the type of chairs we're talking about, it's really hard to pull that up to a small camp table, right? I just use stools around a camp table for that reason.
Yeah, with a camp table, yeah, you're going to need something with hard arm, or more of a director's chair, you know, where you're straight up, your arms are out.
Yep.
Any of the other type of chairs, they're not really suited, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah, okay. We haven't really covered tents.
Well, I think,
have you got anything else?
Not really.
I wanted to ask if there's anything you think about with tents. The obvious things are height, head height, to stand up in, and I'm assuming a bit of space to get dressed, get changed, sort yourself out.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, when we used to have tents, I mean, I was a lot younger then, so it probably didn't matter. You know, you climb in and out, get dressed, laying on your back and what have you. Now that I'm getting a little bit older, I prefer to stand up, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'd be going for more of the, doesn't have to be Coleman or anything, but that style, like an instant up sort of style, so you're
walls are a bit straighter.
Taller.
Yep.
Even your Oz tents, your RVs, things like that, you can still stand up in them. That's what I'd be going for. I would not buy, you know, like a hiking style tent for myself.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. And that's again, it's a personal thing. I mean, it'll fit me, no worries, but I can't be bothered laying on my back trying to get changed.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess as well, if you are somebody who's going to be using a stretcher inside a tent, those more vertical walls are going to be important for trying to fit that in as well.
And that's the thing. If you're going to use a stretcher, you've got to actually watch what the size of the tent is. I mean, the length usually isn't an issue. It's the width.
Yeah.
So it depends how many stretchers you're putting in. If it's just for yourself, you're okay. But if you're going to have a few people, you've got to watch what you're using.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there again, then it becomes a weight issue again because you need a bigger tent, more stretchers. You know, there could be that many things. Oh, it's mum.
Do you want to take your call? Hi, Cam's mum.
It's Grandma Cam.
So I guess you got Coleman Instant Ups, Turbo Tents.
More
a lot
sort
of
vertically
a lot
wall
of the,
type stuff, good head height.
And they suit quite well. Yeah.
I actually do have a question that's come to me from memory because we do get them occasionally with the Q&As that come through. With self-inflating mats, if you want to get a double because you're sleeping with your partner, have you ever done that with Mrs. Cam? Like slept on a double self-inflating?
No.
You don't sleep next to her?
Oh, God, no. No. Naughty things happen. It's just not good. I actually don't because I find that even the double stretchers, because they've got a bar through the centre, I just find it so uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
If I was, doing that, for me personally, I'll just get two single stretches.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And put them together if you want to do that, or just have one each side and so you both get up and have like a bit of an alleyway to get changed or whatever.
Yeah, because I think the question that comes up with like, say, a double self-inflating mat is if your partner is a big fella and you're not a big woman, are you going to sort of be like, is your side going to be more full of air, or is it still going to be fairly evened out? But potentially, like you're saying, it might be worth going for two singles. And
I'd probably go for two singles.
Okay. So picture that one of those situations where there's big bean bags where someone sits on the side and someone jumps on the other side and shoots the person off. I mean, I use a double self-inflating mat with my wife, and we're probably sort of more evenly matched with weight, and you do feel movement, but I imagine it would be worse if one person was particularly heavier than the other in that instance.
Potentially.
I mean, they're nowhere near as bad as an airbed, but
not
as good as your mattress at home. You've got all those sort of individual springs. But I guess the mega mats and a lot of the self-inflating mats now have got really straight sides, so you can essentially put them together anyway, but you've got no separation of the air movement between
the
two.
You can get like mat couplers and things like that.
Yep.
It's probably also worth it, again, if you want a softer mat and maybe your partner wants a firmer mat because they are a bit heavier, you can tailor them a bit more, but anyway.
We've actually had that recently. We had a lady who's got a really bad back, and she went for the 15 and her husband had the 10.
Yeah, right, okay.
Oh, and
right.
So they put the stretch, and this was just recently, so they wanted the stretches together still. She needed that extra support, so that's why she went for the larger mat. So,
yeah, nice. Okay, that's good to know. So I reckon we've probably ringed this conversation out longer than we thought as well.
Because you literally told Cam at the start of the episode, this is what we're talking about, Cam, didn't you?
Because he didn't know.
I had no
he's
idea.
Done well.
So he's rocked up, he's turned the camera, well. Oh, we're talking about this, Cam. Oh, geez, are we? So we've talked for 40 minutes, so we've done all right.
Yeah, we've done not too bad. But I guess what I've heard from you, Cam, main takeaways are try your gear out in person, test it out, get into store wherever possible.
Yeah.
Or even, try out your mate's gear and sit in things, touch things, feel things.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
And you don't necessarily need to go for the bigger version of everything. It just comes down to your personal comfort.
It's got to be comfortable for you. And I think, to me, that's the hardest thing. I can't tell somebody what's going to work for them.
Mm. Yeah.
They have to go and have a look themselves, and what they feel comfortable in is what is going to work for them. And that's the only thing I can really say, which I know is a hard thing, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it works with shoes. It's like, just because I'm a size 9 doesn't mean that another woman in a size 9 can wear the same shoe and feel comfortable,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess it's just it's the same for everyone, but it's more prevalent when you're particularly tall and, need larger gear.
Yeah.
Try the chairs out because it's going to be more prevalent to your comfort.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for your time, Cam. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Cool.
Thanks, Cam. We'll see you next time we're looking at you.
Yeah, no worries.
Catch you later.
See ya.
All right.
That's it.
That's good.
Thanks.
Another episode down. Hopefully
I learned
that
a lot
helpful.
About that, actually.
I reckon there's going to be a few people in the group who will have some awesome ideas here.
Yeah, same.
I don't know most of those people personally. In fact, pretty much all of them I don't know personally. but I reckon there'd be heaps of people who with heaps of camping experience who would be of larger stature and have some great tips on camping more comfortably.
Correct. So if you do have any tips or anything else to add to this episode content, you can chuck them below in the YouTube comments, or again, head to our Facebook group and give us your tips.
And if you've got any questions for Cam, let us know. We'll
he keeps an eye on things too, I think.
Yeah. If he doesn't answer, we'll prompt him to.
Cool.
Get in there. Thanks, guys.
Catch you next time.
See you later.